Ask the Podcast Coach for June 14th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome aboard to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you can find us at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. I'm Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, and this is where we answer your podcasting questions live every Saturday morning. And joining me, as always, the one, the only, Jim Collison. Jim, how are you, buddy?
Greetings. Happy Saturday morning to you.
It is Saturday, and we've got some fun things to talk about. I've been playing with some toys, and as always, if you would like to get your lovely voice, we have actually somebody sent in some questions, so we got a ton of questions, but if you want to call in live, we would love to hear from you. The number is, of course, 845. There it is. 845-262-2401. That number again, 845-262-2401. And we're off and running. So how's everything out in Omaha these days?
Yeah, pretty good. College World Series is in full bloom out here. If you follow college baseball at all, for 53 years, we've hosted, Omaha has been the state to host the College World Series. And it is crazy. A million people descend upon Omaha for the series and just rock this town. So for the next 2 weeks, it'll be nuts. Gallup, where I work, is just across the street from the new home in the College World Series. So we're seeing all the traffic and tents and ESPN and all that good stuff. So it's a good week to live in Omaha.
There you go. I want to say hello to everyone in the chat room. We've got quite a few people out there. Mike, Jeff, John, Jim. Well, that's you. And Chris, Alan, Rich, and Ronald. And again, you can find us out at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. You can also go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And I thought the first thing I would kind of shed some light on, I bought a new toy. If you're not familiar with Pat Flynn, he does the Smart Passive Income, and he also does a daily show called Ask Pat. And when he launched Ask Pat, he had this cool player on his website. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird, because it looked very SoundCloudy. And I noticed that he was using SoundCloud. And I was like, okay, I was surprised that he switched hosts. But to make a long story short, he launched this player. Now, he's made it available to the public. And I went and bought it and can't really comment much on it. I will say this. Well, let's get this out of the way. I got to watch the tutorial videos at half speed by using MySpeed, which you can find at askthepodcastcoach.com/MySpeed. So I got up to speed on the player super quick. The bad news is right now on my website, at least, it's not working. Now, the cool thing is I thought you somehow tied it into the MP3s, which you can if you want, but really it's you plug in your RSS feed and it then puts this player on your website and you can customize the colors and things like that. But it's $77. Now, he had a coupon code for this, so I got it for $47, which still kind of a chunk of change for a player. It's not a theme. It's not, it's just a, the phrase that was being used in the chat room was, it's sexy. And I'm like, really? A player? Sexy? So you can find it if you're interested in it. It's at smartpodcastplayer.com. And it is kind of cool. And this is where I kind of go, I probably should reserve judgment, but this is just my first time. My first, what is it? Your first time impression, I guess, is because he did like an hour-long launch, a webinar, which you can watch. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. And there are things that apparently that this thing does that other players don't, if you're using SoundCloud, potentially. And I didn't make it through that part of the video yet. I just, you know, I'm like anybody else. You want to open up the box and get it to work. So I watched the support videos to put it on my swipe. But right now, it kind of puts, it's using the RSS feed, but it's actually not putting the player. Now, and my thought is probably because the School of Podcasting is a membership site, it may be blocking if it's pulling things from other areas. The School of Podcasting has all sorts of permission levels, so people can't, you know me, I'm hoarding all my information in there. So somehow it may be blocking things from that. But so far, I don't have much of an opinion besides, wow, that was kind of expensive, and I've yet to see what the big deal is.
I guess it opens a discussion, I think, that is, and I ask you right in the pre-show, do we you know, what are the importance of players? And obviously, I mean, Pat doesn't do anything that doesn't make money. So, you know, he must be seeing an ROI on this thing otherwise. And maybe that ROI, Dave, is that you bought it.
Yeah.
But you know, it's selling the player and then not the player itself. You know, podcasters seem to be attracted to these shiny objects lately of, you know, of these sexy players. And, you know, I don't know. I guess I don't have an opinion on any ROI from a podcasting. If somebody asked me, Jim, do I need to update my players to get people to listen to my podcast? I don't know. I was telling you, my player is a round button. It's black and it's got a white, like, you know, a triangle in it, and you push play. I made it super simple so that if anybody joins either on a website or they come in through their mobile device, it's big enough that your thumb can hit it and it doesn't,
yeah.
You know, it plays. Cool. So I went simple. I really tried to keep it. You know, I have my player up top. I have my YouTube page on the bottom. And then recently I've tried an experiment where I'm dropping the Spreaker embed at the bottom of that to see if I can get some folks to join my to kind of follow me on Spreaker. That hasn't worked in the last 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, it's just been 3 or 4 weeks. I've seen zero engagement on Spreaker from just doing that. Now, again, know your audience. No, my audience is very, very tech savvy. They're all pulling me in through podcatchers and iTunes and some of those other things. So that may not work. That might work for your audience.
Yeah, he's stated that there are a lot of people that were listening to his show on the website, which is true. There are those people that subscribe on iTunes. And so he was like, he liked the fact that made it so shareable. But in terms of the fact that you clicked on an episode and you saw basically the show notes for that episode, along with the links, that's really nothing new. I like the Blueberry has a player. Now, I love their PowerPress player, but they actually have a player. If you're a member of the Blueberry community, if you have your site listed there, you can go in and get a player and get some code to put it on your website. And the thing I love about it is when you click on it, it shows however many shows are in your feed. It shows the show notes with clickable links. And I believe if you just keep saying go, you know, play, it just plays the next episode, the next episode, the next episode. And I've used that for people who aren't using WordPress and they want to have a player on their Joomla site or on their, you know, whatever, their ping.twit. Yeah. And so I always use the Blueberry one. So having a show notes with links, I'm like, that's not new. So like I said, I need to go back and, about the time, it was probably like 20 minutes into the webinar, I had to do the podcast review show, so I had to leave. And so I have yet to see, like, what's the one thing that I'm missing here. But
so you're not no passing judgment here. You're early in.
Yeah, I'm early in
the process.
Just
you know, I'm looking at it on a site. It looks good. I mean, it's well laid out. It's got easy share links, and the share links are also big targets. So if you, I'm assuming this is HTML5 and responsive design. Yeah. And so if I'm looking at it on my phone, it's going to be just as big. So it's a nice setup. If anything, I think podcasters could take a look at it to say, on my own site, do I have enough targets, and are my targets big enough? We have to really think. I think mobile. We have to make the shift to mobile, right? I think more and more people are going to be finding our stuff on mobile devices, and are our websites up to speed? You know, it's fun. Go to Best Buy sometime or the electronic store of your choice, Fry's, whatever. Mess around. Go to the tablet section. Mess around with different tablets and bring your site up on those tablets and just kind of see how the various, you know, go to a Windows tablet, go to a Android tablet, go to the iPad if you don't have any of those, and see what your site looks like on there. It's really interesting. It does not render like you think it will in a lot of cases.
Yeah, that's always a big surprise. And the other toy I play with, and a lot of this stuff I go in because I'm not sure I would have bought the player, but because people are going to ask me my opinion about it, I'm like, well, I might as well get it firsthand. And he's got he had a coupon, you know, I love my coupons. And, so I did that. The other one that just launched, if you go to, mypodcastreviews.com, this is a service by the one, the only Daniel J. Lewis, who, you know, whatever this, he's a friend of mine. I consider him a good friend of mine. He will be my roommate at Podcast Movement in Dallas. And so I signed up for that. And this is where it's $15. It's like $5 for one podcast. I think it's 15 for up to five and another thing. And it's really interesting because I'm not a big checker of reviews. So the first email you get is every review you've received. And wow, did I get reamed on the Logical Weight Loss podcast, which is actually good. I've lost 2 pounds this week after my audience, I didn't realize, was giving me some tough love. Like, Dave, you've been doing the show for 3 years and you're not losing weight. And I'm like, all right, you know, if I'm going to be a man of integrity, it's time to buckle down. But here's, so we've actually got a few reviews for Ask the Podcast Coach. So thanks to Josh Liston for saying he loves the show. Just podcasting love and no selling. I also like Dave and Jim questioning the standard practices and conventions of podcasting. I would like to hear Dave a little more, though. Sorry, Jim. I'm just reading it.
Am I talking too much?
I don't think so. Sometimes it sounds, that's really weird. Because I always think it's pretty 50-50, if not 60-40 me. I think it depends on what we're talking about, really.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
Sometimes it sounds like he's just interviewing Jim. Well, that is true, because if we're talking about something that I don't know, I'll just... But that's a tiny gripe, he says, and an otherwise awesome show. Phil Olson, some fantastic information, tips, and podcasts related from Dave and Jim. Great chemistry between the two hosts, and welcome another addition to my subscription list. So thank you. That is Jim from virtual-pizza.com. This is what I want to know. How do you, I don't think you can. I would love to change my iTunes, whatever that is, name or whatever, because somebody's going to go, I think mine is Jackson GEI, which goes back to the days I worked for Graphic Enterprises. So there's nothing in there. I would have to put my name for that. But so far, our lowest rating is 4. We got a 4-star. Frey says, my wife and I, this is from DefiningMomentsTV.com. My wife and I are about to launch a podcast in a couple days called Life Lessons, and Dave Jackson helped me answer a problem I was having with my audio. So glad I can call every Saturday if I need with anything for my podcast. Speaking of that, again, you can call in. It's 845-262-2401. We have nobody. You open lines now. So I love it. It's great. And then you can specify what days you want your weekly email to show up. So I have like the School of Podcasting show up on like Friday. I have, because different shows come out on different days of the week for me. So that way, if somebody does write a review, I can see it and do that. Now, the only thing I have seen, and I get this, I don't know if there's a way to turn it off, is it also emails you if you don't have any new reviews. So like next week, if we get no reviews at askthepodcastcoach.com/iTunes, I'll get an email saying you got no reviews. And I appreciate that. So I don't have to go look, but it's also somewhat depressing. You're like, oh, and nobody gave me a review. So it saves you time because you don't have to look, especially this is all the reviews of all the countries. That's the biggie. Because if you, you may not realize when you go into iTunes in the bottom right hand corner, you can switch to whatever country you would like and see those reviews. And so kudos to my buddy, Daniel J. Lewis for, he asked me, he actually offered me like a test drive. And I said, dude, you're doing this. I know this thing's going to rock and roll. I'm like, I'll give you $10 or whatever it is. It's like, not a big deal.
Well, he's got a free account too. I'm signing up for it right now.
Now, there you go. So
if you want to go out and test drive it, you can get to up to one podcast and he'll send you the latest 30 reviews once a month. So I'm going to give it a,
there you go.
Gonna give it a spin. You know, I bought Daniel's, social search, no, social
search and search and subscribe search and follow.
Yeah. Search, subscribe and follow. I think can that's never it. Remember the name. So Daniel, maybe an easier name would be better, but I love it. That's a great plugin for WordPress, and it really simplified all my feeds. And the icons look great. It's easy to set up. It's easy to do multiple podcasts. It's been a great plugin.
Yeah, he's it's weird because he's kind of a detail guy, but if you talk to him, he's not like uber nerdy. He's just a cool kid.
No, he's good. I interviewed him one time on my show last year, and he's just a great guy. I love following him. He's got some great tips. So in fact, he's got 5 great tips on... No, just kidding.
Yeah, I want to know, what book did he read that said... You know, and it's true. The other thing I got this week is I signed up for a class on how to write a book in a weekend by Ray Edwards. I'm a big Ray Edwards guy. And I signed it up not because I want to learn how to write a book in a weekend, because I kind of know how to do that. But it's all about content creation, how to create good content. I'm like, that's what I'm all about. And so it's very interesting because he's got a whole thing on embracing you, which I talked about a couple weeks ago. and different things like that. So you'll be hearing that coming from me. So that's another. I've been busy this week playing with toys and new books and things like that. And
a book in a weekend, man. I can't even write a book in a year.
Well, the whole thing he's talking about is it's the same thing, kind of like podcasting. You niche down. Like I might actually, I think the book I'm going to write is called How to Launch Your Podcast in iTunes without kicking yourself in the butt or shooting yourself in the foot or, you know, putting your foot in your mouth or something like that. So it'll just be a quick, I think they call it a micro book or some sort of catchy phrase for that.
What we used to call pamphlets.
Yeah, basically.
White paper.
Yeah. And, you know, you throw it up there for 99 cents and, you know, but it's interesting because the even the concept of why do you want to write a book goes really right along with why do you want to start a podcast and, you know, be seen as an expert and grow your audience and all this other. And I was like, this is very, very similar path. So very, very cool stuff. So so those are the toys I've been playing with. Of course, I always have a list of toys. I still haven't played with the Avada theme. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. I'm like, that's still on my list of things to play with. And so
I keep a list. Here on my desk, I kind of have the to-do. This is like the studio to-do list. So I have my own, you know, work one and, of course, the honey-do list that the wife has. She makes sure I take care of those things. But I have a studio list, and I find that really, really helpful just to kind of have that down. It sits right off to the left of me, very visible to kind of keep me on track. So when I get down here, I can – you know, I've spent a lot of time this week on Twitter kind of learning and figuring out just how Twitter works. By the way, the more active you get on Twitter, the more followers you'll get. That's an amazing thing with that. Start following a few people and all of a sudden, man, the floodgates will open. It's been crazy this
week. Well, that was going to be my question. Okay, so what did you learn about Twitter? We talked about it a little bit last week.
So I started – first of all, I went back in and followed everyone who had followed me. Mm-hmm. That I hadn't followed yet. That was a real person. So I get a lot of, I get a lot of, a few spam accounts and then I get a lot of businesses, right? And, it's up to you, but that's about 300. So I have about 1300 people who follow me. So and then I was following about that many. So, and then there were a bunch that I hadn't followed yet. So I just went in, you pull it up. If you go to the Twitter site itself, just twitter.com and hit your followers, there's a pretty good list, three rows across, and it just keeps scrolling down until you get through them all. I think it goes newest to oldest. And so I rolled through that. Well, that single act kind of opened the floodgates for something. I started showing up somewhere on Twitter as, hey, you should follow this guy. I think it was an activity threshold that I crossed over or something. And I went from getting three joins a day to 20.
Wow.
Follows, right? 3 to 20. Yeah. Like, boom, nuts. I've had 15 this morning, just this morning, right? And now the quality of these follows is not great. And a lot of them are a lot of people who have a lot of followers and are following a lot of people, right? There's kind of this arms race for followers on Twitter. Many of them must have automatic things set up. So,
yeah.
You know, the quality of the follows, it's questionable. But if you're looking for that influence, if you're looking for that reach, you never know. And that person who's following 20,000 might retweet you for whatever reason. So if you're looking for that reach, I think it's not a bad idea. Then the other thing, last week we talked about If This Then That. I found a new one called Zapier, Zapier.com. Actually, Dave, a paid service, which you like, right? If This Then That has no pay model, Zapier does. And, according to your philosophy, If This Then That probably won't make it. And Zapier probably will.
Yeah. Do they have any even like advertising or anything on that?
Nothing. I have no idea how they're monetizing.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I love it. It's great, but won't be surprised when you go away.
And actually, Zapier has a little bit better of an interface. You'll probably end up paying between $15 and $50 a month to use their service if you're going to use it for any length of time. But that being said, I did a couple automatic things that you might want to think about. One is I created a secondary account a ways back called The Average Guy TV, and I know not too many followers on it. So I use that account to thank people who follow me. That way my followers don't get spammed with all that. Thank you for following me, right? That doesn't show up on their feed. So I created a podcast account to do that, and that seems to have worked well. And so every time someone follows me, they get a thank you note. My Twitter ID shows up back in the feed. You know, it generates some activity around your user ID, which I think Twitter favors. The more action you give it, the more they're going to have you show up on searches and stuff. So I did that. And then I've been trying something at work. Anytime someone posts a certain, we have a social share. When someone shares their strengths, it's a social share off our webpage. I actually have a search then that finds that tweet out there in the Twitterverse and thanks them for sharing their strengths and then says, hey, come back to our Facebook page and enjoy the conversation. Because, you know, with a customer, whatever you're doing, the goal is to get them. It's great that they bought your product, but you want to get them sticky to your social platforms.
Right.
So we need to bring them back into our Facebook page. So this tweet is that link. Hey, now come back. And the propensity for them to come back is probably highest right after they've done that social share.
Right. That's true. Because they already found something good that they've shared. So they're
exactly.
They're big on you. So
the highest engagement level they'll ever be with your product at that point. And so that's I encourage them to come back and join our Facebook page at that point. So two actions. I've been testing them. The results so far all week, I mean, my activity and my shares are up, you know, 400%, so to speak.
Wow.
Quality of that, we'll determine later. But
yeah, I tried a thing once called, I think it was Tweet Adder. And it had some cool things where you could say, go out and find people with this in their, you know, description and add them. And if they don't follow me back within X amount of time, whack them. And it just, after a while, you know, you end up with a big giant list of people you've never heard of that it just, I think I still have, I have to look. I had a Twitter account. It was Start a Podcast. That was the @StartaPodcast. And it was, the entire thing was it was just a tweet adder. And I think I even said in the thing, this is not a real account.
Don't follow this.
Yeah. And I had it automatically posting things from all my, it was just, the whole thing was a giant robot just to see what it did.
Yeah. And there's a balance there between being a robot and being a real person. You know, you want to, I've that robot action, that automatic action. I do try to follow up with an actual genuine tweet. Yeah. I use Hootsuite now
did you see the new feature they added? You now can say it will give you suggestions on things that you should tweet about based on what you've been posting about. And this is also something else in BufferApp.com is one where you can, we talked about that the 7th, that you can schedule your shows, you can schedule your tweets ahead of time, and they have a suggest feature. And their suggestions, in my opinion, were a little better than the ones at Hootsuite were, because they gave me a big old list, and I was like, no, doesn't pertain, no. And I think they gave me a list of like 9, and I used 2. But that's kind of weird. I'm always like, you know, because I always go and look at it. Like, I have to read it, because I don't want to, you know, say, hey, go read this if I think it's, if it's good or whatever. And, is clean. Okay. Yeah. That's our good friend. Yeah.
Mixler just does that. Yeah. Mixler creates some pops and cracks for me. If you're listening to us on Mixler, it's probably annoying. Sorry. You can go to Spreaker if it's killing you, or join us on the YouTube page.
And it's actually, for whatever reason, I was going to change my resolution to my video, because we're getting the whole, and this happens whenever it feels like it with Google Hangouts, just pops and crackles when you talk. Even here on the Google Hangout, so that's always fun.
Oh yeah, you know, you'll get a little bit of that. What camera are you using?
The C920.
Yeah, so the C920 really takes a lot of resources off your PC. One of the reasons I upgraded, we've been talking about, I did a PC upgrade last week, was because the C920 just takes a ton of resources to run. And you will get, if you don't have enough throughput, you will get, when you're running 1080p in a Google Hangout, for whatever reason, it makes your sound card crackle. Now, that doesn't come across on the recording, but you will hear it. And I heard that a lot. I was running a Core i3 530, which is a first-gen Core i3, you know, from about 3 years ago. And when I upgraded, I have a Haswell Core i7 4770. That's sorry to get nerdy on you, but somebody will ask me what that was. So a pretty standard Core i7 chip. I'm running full 1080p right now on mine, and the crackling is gone. So if you're running slower hardware and you're running a C920 and you're hearing crackling, that could be the problem. I did a lot of troubleshooting around that. So I know a lot of podcasters have that C920. So just watch out for that and see if you hear it. You can get rid of the crackling by just notching down your video one. You know, if you go down one, Dave, if you go up to the Google Hangout and notch it down one level, you won't get 1080p out of it, but you will get 720 or whatever.
Okay, so I'm 720. I'm going down to medium.
Yeah, it'll stop crackling.
Yeah, there we go.
When you do that, if you watch your resource monitor on your PC, it'll dip. As soon as you do that, it'll dip. So, whatever's going on with C920s, they're supposed to have hardware acceleration built onto the camera. That's why they're as big as they are. I don't know if that's necessarily working as well with USB as it's supposed to. So it's an interesting, if you're having that problem, and I know a lot of people are saying that, you know, that could be a problem. And Rich just said it went away. So I wonder if there's something, Dave, that you changed.
I'm down to medium, you know, here.
That did it.
If I unscreen share so you can see if I'm now grainy.
Maybe it was when you screen shared. Anyways, yeah.
But somebody asked in the chat room, where do you find suggestions? And as quickly as they appeared,
they're gone.
I can't. Yeah. It was like one day.
I didn't see them in there. But I was using TweetDeck, and mm-hmm. TweetDeck had an SSL vulnerability this week, or a XML, sorry, vulnerability this week, and caused certain accounts to tweet out this really weird kind of message that would kind of self-populate. And so I immediately had to go out and unauthorize TweetDeck from – so if you're using TweetDeck, you might want to go take a peek at it. Unauthorize that from Twitter. And then I thought, well, I wonder what else I could use in the meantime. And I know people have recommended Hootsuite, so I popped over there.
Yeah, the only thing I loved TweetDeck. I used to use it all the time. The only thing I didn't like about it is I had to be in front of my computer to use it. You know, so I always had to be home. And with Hootsuite, I can do it on my phone or pretty much wherever I got an internet connection. So that's what made me switch. But I love TweetDeck.
Well, from a podcaster's perspective, let me just wrap up that conversation, that Twitter conversation, because mm-hmm. how does all that pertain to podcasters? Well, if you've got some kind of material or you want to track, and I think this is where we talk about the competition, coopetition standpoint. You might have people in your niche that you can use these auto-generated tweets for. So if you want to highlight when they post a blog post with this automation on Zapier or of this, then that, you can monitor their RSS feeds. And anytime they post a blog post, you can then tweet it and say, hey, my friend over at whatever, I'm making that up, but has did this blog post. And it can be a way of building community in your niche and doing it automatically. So you don't have to, you know, you don't have to monitor those things. The automation will do it automatically for you. So it's kind of a way to build some community that way, or if you know you have a certain search string you want to watch for in Twitter that you want to respond to each time, you can get notifications of that or whatever. So check those out. Pretty helpful. I've had some great results this week just kind of messing around with them.
And Brian in the chat room, and again, you can find this over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live, had a question about the delay on a Google Hangout on air. Because I know Mixler is pretty quick. It's obviously nothing is officially live, but I think you said in the past, isn't a Hangout about a 30-second delay?
That would be a great day if it was 30 seconds, probably 45 to a minute. Yeah, you know, it is behind, and that makes it weird for chat. It's a big drawback at times if you're trying to do real live, because your chat's a minute behind you, you know?
Yeah.
So it definitely is behind. It's something you just have to deal with, and I don't find that many problems with that. You kind of get past it.
Yeah, you get used to it. Well, hey, it's come on, Google Hangout. Don't act weird on me. There we go. I'm going to screen share one more time because we'll do that and remind you that as soon as we get that to come up on the screen, maybe not. That's not the screen I want to share.
Brian says he has the Hangout muted and is listening on Mixler, so he's probably getting kung fu.
That would be kind of weird.
No, he's getting the kung fu. Yeah, that would mess me up pretty bad. You're getting the kung fu.
But just to remind you that, as always, this podcast is brought to you by the schoolofpodcasting.com, which you're actually, if you're watching the video, you're seeing an inside look at the School of Podcasting. So you can see here's all our tutorials on planning, content gathering, recording your podcast, building your website, publishing your podcast, and promoting your podcast. And now a new section on live podcasting. That's right. You actually see the behind the scenes of the Ask the Podcast Coach show. Use the coupon code ASK20 and save $20 off your first month at the School of Podcasting. Come for the first month, get the education, and then stay for the community. Thank you for School of Podcasting for sponsoring the Ask the Podcast Coach show. So, hey, we probably should answer some questions while we're at it. And my good friend, Bill, I always want to say Murphy, but it's not. I didn't write it down. I wrote his name.
Start with a C, didn't it?
I could go to
Facebook. No, I've really messed you up.
I did. I was like, Bill, I'm going to hear and go, oh, of course it's Bill. I actually looked this up before. Jim can be my witness.
No, he did have it. And that's so maddening because you feel so bad when you do that. You're like, I should know your name, but I'm under the pressure right now.
I just know him as Bill, and he's a great guy. And it's as soon as I see it, Bill Conrad. Of course, it's Bill Conrad.
See, I told you it started with a C.
Yeah, sent in some questions. He asked about. Let's go with this one. What's the difference between Sony Audio Studio and Sony SoundForge? The answer, nothing. It's a rebrand. We talked about that on June 7th as well, rebranding your podcast. And apparently Sony has rebranded this because if I actually have that on my machine, I have version 10. And when you start it up, it says Sony Audio Studio. And then you see in little itty bitty letters, SoundForge. So they've kind of changed that. And that's the tool I use. My workflow is like I just got done listening to Joe from Stacking Benjamins is going to be on the next School of Podcasting. And I was going through and I was editing out any questions. I'm always looking for the golden nuggets because I talk to almost everybody for an hour, but I try to have my interviews somewhere around 20 to 40 minutes. And so I was trying to find anything that I could cut or didn't fit. And so what I do is I use Sony Audio Studio now to go through, cut those out, cut out any ums and you knows, and I can listen at 1.78 speed. I could go faster, but I have found at 1.78 I can still listen and pull that out. Once I get that done, I save everything as a WAV file. I pull it into Adobe Audition, and that's where I put in the fade in and fade out music and things like that. So it's a great program. There are I think there's one called WavePad that might be free that you might want to check out. And he asked a question, and I actually sent him a follow-up question on that. He says, can I record through Skype and then into my mixer? And he's using the Q802 USB, which I believe is a Behringer unit. So to answer that question, yes, you can, right? That's just the fact that it's a USB mixer doesn't make any difference. But he's going from Skype into the mixer into his Roland R-05. Absolutely, you can do that. Then he asks, I want to go out of my mixer back into his computer and have it record both him and his guest. And that's the problem. I said, that's actually the definition of a feedback loop. When you send the sound of your guest to, well, here, let's do this, Jim. Go ahead and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Are you not getting yourself back to you?
I'm not hearing myself back, no. But it was a good pledge of allegiance.
That was a great pledge of allegiance. Well, I thought I was sending you back to you because you are one.
No, let's see. One, two. Can I hear myself?
No.
A little bit. I am hearing a little bit of myself now.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So
just an underlying kind of that garbled gabble, yeah, that you hear it kind of in the background.
Yeah, so it usually makes your guests sound like they're drunk because all of a sudden they hear themselves. We had this on a Google Hangout. We did the podcast review show, and we could not get rid of me coming back painful to them. Everybody had headphones on, and it's like, all right, I guess we're going to have to go with this. There was nothing we could do. So in theory, you never want to send the sound of your guest back to you, and if you're taking your mix that you've got from Skype, which came from your computer, and send it back to them on the computer that it came from, I'm going to guess that's going to cause a big issue. Now, you could send it to, you know, you're already sending it to another recorder, and he was using Call Recorder. He's on a Mac, and he was like, I said, well, just adjust the volumes in the Mac, because he wasn't a big fan of Call Recorder. I'm like, I don't know anybody that doesn't like that program. And so he actually found I was working with him this morning. He's actually a member of the School of Podcasting. We found a page on Skype because if you're not happy with the volume levels when you're using Call Recorder, you can go into the preferences on a Mac and manually adjust the sound of your guest as well as your volume so that Call Recorder gets a good call. But Jim, any insights into – I mean, that's pretty much Yeah, you haven't found a way to send
more of you, Dave. So just keep going.
I figure there hasn't been a way to send the sound of your host or your guest back to them that I know of without them going crazy.
I always get in trouble when I talk about mixed mileage, so I'm just going to leave it.
And then the other one he asked: editing processes and techniques. Well, I just kind of said mine. I edit because there are. Yes, I can edit in Adobe Audition. Adobe Audition does two things. You can edit the actual original file, And this is one of the things that kind of makes it confusing. It's two programs in one. It's a wave editor, but it's also a multi-track, so I can take all my files and mix in music and things like that and mix them down to an MP3. And you can do some editing in Audacity, but what happens is you end up to, like if I delete an I now have two files. I had one file and I delete the and it basically, it either cuts out that spot and I now have two pieces. You can do what's called a ripple delete, which is kind of fun, and it moves it over, but you still have two pieces. And yes, there are things you can do to then stitch them all together. But for me, I like using, in this case, Sony SoundForge, mainly because I can speed things up. If Audition, too many A's in this editing world, but if Audition let me speed it up, I wouldn't use Sony SoundForge. I just love it because I can speed it up. I go in there, and when I delete an it just scoots. It's still one file. I don't end up managing 16 files because I made 17 edits. So I use that, and like I said, I get the file the way I want it, and then I throw it into Audition where I use compression, and I mix in my music and all that other fun stuff. So that's my workflow. And then the other question he asked, and this is so hilarious, because for years I said, someday I'm going to buy a Mac. I bought a Mac. I still haven't really used it. He says, what do you think? Somebody said in Fortune magazine that there's an article on page 73. How cool is that? Dated June 16th. That Apple's newest product, Complexity. And I will say this, I loved Apple when they came out with iTunes because they made one-click subscription. That one-click subscription is now three, and that drives me bonkers. So how do I feel about their Complexity issue now that you have a Mac? To me, it's one of those things. I mean, my background is learning software. So when I learned Lotus Notes back in the day and I knew WordPerfect and I knew Word, a word processor is a word processor is a word processor. So when I see Logic and I see GarageBand and I see Sony Acid Music Studio, which is their multi-track recorder, they're kind of all the same thing. It's just a matter of what do you call it? I use a program by Corel called PaintShop Pro. I call it the poor man's Photoshop. It's, you know, they call them layers in Photoshop. They call them layers over here. It's you just kind of have to learn the ins and outs of that. But you can find Bill. I'm surprised he's not here. He's of course, he's on the West Coast. It's a little early out there at bluff.tv. I know it's Bluff TV. Is it bluff.tv or blufftv.com? Blufftv.net. He's actually in my browser history, which if you're like, what the heck is Bluff? It's Bottom Line Upfront Network. And he's a good guy. So
I'm going to switch to a Mac is my next purchase.
By the way. There you go.
It's on my list. So one of the problems I run into with the podcast consulting that I do is I need to support people on Macs all the time. I'm a PC guy. I'm a Windows MVP for Microsoft. So I'm a Windows guy and I love Windows and it works well for me. There's a lot of good stuff going on in the Mac world too. And I get the question all the time, like they're trying to figure something out on Skype. And I'm like, I use Skype on Mac. So I don't know.
That's it.
So I want to know. It's not. I think both platforms are great. To be honest with you, they both have their strengths and weaknesses. I try not to choose sides, but it's so that's my next. I'm going to get a mini.
That's what I got. And I
$600 mini.
Yeah, I learned GarageBand and I learned Skype, and I need to buy Call Recorder apparently. And that was one of the biggest reasons why I bought it, is just so when people are like, yeah, I'm doing GarageBand, and I'd be like, oh, and I'd have to go out and watch a YouTube video or something to get the back end and things of that nature, and so. Yeah, I haven't found them too complex. It's like anything else. There's a learning curve. You know?
I'll probably use like Craigslist. I'll pick one up local. You know, somebody who's some Mac enthusiast who's upgraded, who will drop it for $400 and call it good.
Wants the other new shiny object.
You got to take advantage of the system. Make it work in your favor. And so they do hold their value pretty well, and I think they've got a good place for it. So.
Yeah. Hey, if you're bored. We have open phone lines again, 845-262-2401. If you just joined us, you're listening to the Ask the Podcast Coach show at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And one of the things I'm really working on, we talked in the past about reviewing your own show. I have a really bad habit of not saying .com. Like I might say, Daniel G. Lewis from the Audacity to Podcast which is the name of a show, but in my head I'm thinking .com, and then I don't. And, you know, you can always say, well, but people can always Google the Audacity to Podcast, or they could Google the Podcasters Roundtable. I have a really bad habit of not saying .com. My brain is already on to the next sentence. I'm like, okay, so let's, you know.
Having a .tv myself, right, that's kind of where I land. I'm really careful when we try to say websites that I do add the .com onto the end, or whatever it might be. And there's a whole plethora of new domains coming out. And so I think we're just going to get harder and harder. So where, you know, I'm sure I've had people go to theaverageguy.com looking for me. It's theaverageguy.tv. So it is good. You're really good about that with me. You've always just said theaverageguy.tv. So that fits right in.
Yeah, you stand out because you have a .tv. That's all I remember.
Well, that was a Laporte deal, right? He started with twit.tv, yeah. And I thought that's the direction everything was going to go, was that everybody who was going to do media would pick up these .tv domains, and it's kind of worked out in my favor.
Yeah, how much is it? A whole lot more? Because I know I have School
40 of bucks a year.
Yeah, I have School of Podcasting .fm, and when I bought it was something ridiculous, like $65, and I'm like, again, that comes down to $5 a month or something like that, but it's like, wait, I can get another one for 13.
Yeah. It's owned by some country that I can never pronounce, and so it's a little bit more than a .com or what have you, but it's, you know, for me, it's what I did, and so you kind of stick with it. And even through some of the rebranding stuff, I've stuck with it. I like it. I've thought about it. It's funny. I hear motivational speakers all the time say, don't be average. Average is bad, you know, blah, blah. There's kind of an average bashing going on right now, and I just wanted to be the average guy, so.
Your audio thing just did its thing.
Did it go up and then back down again?
It's been fine all day. Said to let you know if it did, and it just did.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's a new setup. This is one of those things that you have to kind of work all the ghosts out of the machine whenever you're doing that. So certainly that was a Google Hangout deal, I'm sure.
Yeah. Hey, we've been kind of swapping. I'll see you one cool tool, and you can raise me another one. I went back to one that I used years ago, called Rescue Time. I heard it because it wouldn't be a podcast review or Ask the Podcast Coach show if we didn't say the name, John Lee Dumas. I actually went back and listened to I subscribed to the name of his show. How could I forget it? Entrepreneur on Fire. And he was talking about Rescue Time. And I'm like, man, I reviewed that on Weekly Web Tools like years ago, and went back and installed it. It actually is a really cool thing because you don't have to tell it to start. Like right now, it is monitoring how much time I'm spending on Mixlr. And you can go in and say, is this productive or not? So it's amazing to find out how much time you spend on Netflix. Then you're like, because you're like, I don't have time to podcast. Then like, wait a minute, I spent, you know, 37 minutes on YouTube. I spent 3 hours on Netflix. And I spent, you know, 20 minutes surfing around Amazon. And it's kind of interesting that...
I hate to think how much time I spent on Twitter this week.
Yeah.
I'm diving into a social media platform at a time now. So it's going to start with Twitter, and then Google Plus will be next.
I'm trying to figure out what they charge for. I know it's the what I'm using is free, and I'm getting all sorts of, insights into what I'm doing. And I'm like, I know it's a freemium where there's a free version and then you pay for more features. I'm not sure what they're charging for, but nothing that I need at this point. So it's actually a pretty cool site. Like I said, I used it before, and then I switched to a program called, not Tumblr. He will say clicking it so it starts. But I like this one because I could start it. I could say, okay, I'm starting a podcast, and it would toggle. T-O-G-G-L was a timer I used. And I kind of like this because it just runs in the background, the Rescue Time. So because you forget that you're doing things, and you're like, oh, wow, I spent... like the other day, I was amazed that it took me like 12 minutes to pick a book on Audible. And I was like, well, so.
Yeah, one of those good productivity tools, kind of keep track of what you're doing and why you're doing it. It's ROI, right? Are you getting value? You know, you spend. Sometimes you just got to figure some things out, too. You know, don't get too crazy with it. You just got to sit down and figure some stuff out.
And for the record, this has never happened. It's not Binky and the Wiz. Talk amongst yourself. Somebody knocked at my door.
All right.
I'm not making this up.
While you're answering the door, let me say, I got some live tips, you know, since this will be fun to watch Dave go answer the door. He's back. So we'll hold on to those here for a second.
we have a new mail person. They were going to hand it to me. I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah, don't. Yeah,
no, no, no. I'm in a podcast.
That's, don't, it's like, don't come on, that. Man. Didn't you see don't the on-air that. Sign? Oh, wait, I don't have one of those. I can't.
You need to put one outside the door.
Yeah.
That would be a good, or in the door. Build it into the door.
There you go. Well, did I mention it on the podcast yet? I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to interfere with Ask the Podcast Coach, but the School of Podcasting will be moving to a new location with twice as much space for an extra $40 a month, and I won't have a mailman knocking on my door in the middle of my podcast. Because the, you can see now, I'm actually starting to sweat a little here, and the air conditioning is on. The current place I live at, they turn off the air conditioning at 6 o'clock. And hello, most of my consulting is done at night. And the other night, Thursday, we were doing a podcast review show, and I have a thermometer right here. And right now it is 82 degrees.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's not because, I mean, I've got lights on and all, but come on now. So I asked the landlord, and to make a long story short, they said, yeah, we don't have air conditioning after 6 o'clock. I'm like, well, then you won't have a tenant. So I'll be moving in the near future.
Awesome. Well, maybe some better facilities.
Yeah, it is actually. It's huge compared to what I have. I don't know what this it's. It's basically about 12 by 12, I think. More than that. I'll have to measure it. But I just remember thinking, wow, I could actually ride my bike. Because it's about 4 blocks from where I am. So it's
that's
not
nice.
Yeah, so I could actually ride that's my bike nice. To that. And then I could Dude, actually not. Park my bike. It's on the first floor as opposed to being 17 steps, which is going to be really great if I ever get back in the band because I have all my equipment behind me. Alan asked a question here about what's my removable screen. Boy, I wish I could tell you where I got that. I will find, you know, it's, if you just Amazon it, there's all sorts of, because on the other side it's black, and on this side it's white. And I think, have I showed this on the show before?
Yeah, you pulled it down. I mean, I have mixed feelings about that. I kind of like the disruptive background of kind of where you're at.
It's so disruptive.
It's messy back there.
I mean,
you
come
show
on.
It to me. I know it's messy, so it's one of those things that but I like that. I don't know what
we're peeling back the curtain today.
Is my
audio.
I guess I'll have to ask the audience, you know, is my background too cluttered? And Dave, let me get your opinion.
Of course,
on
now
that.
I look like I have a giant windshield cover for my giant. I have a Hummer out in the parking lot.
It does eliminate any sense of depth in the room. Like mm-hmm. when you put that shield up, you have no idea
where I'm at.
A watcher. Yeah.
I'm in a million dollar suite, baby.
you lose depth when you do that, you know, when you get behind it. So Alan says, no, not too cluttered, Jim. I was asking what they thought of, you know, I've got a pretty cluttered look behind me. I could have just made a plain wall, but I wanted to put something up to.
Yeah. I always see you're a very active guy. You obviously like to go skiing and, you know, I'm always trying to read books on that.
All my running medals are up here. And,
is that what those are? Okay.
Yeah. So, hey, you run 5 marathons. You should have something to
That's
show
it.
For it.
Doggone you know, it. Give me something to hang on the fridge.
and then I used to put, and I haven't done it in a while, but I used to put, I've got one running right here. You know, I've got the Average Guy logo going down here. I used to have that running on this monitor right over my left shoulder. Just as, you know, I've seen all the podcasters do it. And it was just one of those things set up that I just stopped doing. You know, it's like, I don't know if there's any return on having my logo up over my shoulder.
Yeah, I have. That is something I'll probably get in the new office because I have a big wall. I mean, I could put this, you know.
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
I was like this.
I was going back and watching you and I saw you had that. That's an interesting, we've really never talked about that as a topic, is kind of self-promotion in your show itself. What kind of props do you use to kind of trigger your audience and brand, you know, brand your video? And there's some things, there's different things you can do.
I know Todd Cochran on Geek News Central, he has a little scrolling message box that has like GoDaddy codes and things like that. And I always wonder, like, is that distracting? Because I'll occasionally like, what is he saying on that thing? And I don't know if I've ever taken action on that. And
but that's the first thing I noticed when I watched him for the first time. I'm like, what the? What? Are you kidding me? Is that a scrolling advertisement kind of thing?
And those things aren't cheap. I actually looked into one at one point. I was going to have one for my band so we could have our website scrolling. And Mike in the chat room, And again, the chat room, you can go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/live. That's also where you can see the video. And Mike had fun. His office got flooded. And that's always fun. Nothing more fun than that. I actually once had a case where my basement got flooded, and I was going down the basement steps, and I had a bunch of musical equipment on the floor, and didn't even hesitate, jumped into the water to get it. And it wasn't until I got in the water that I'm like, hey, I'm kind of glad the fuse blew or whatever, because otherwise I'd be, you know, all this electric stuff on the floor plugged in. I'm like, hey, I'm glad I'm not electrocuted right now.
You'd be zapped.
Yeah.
Dave, I've got some, if we got about 10 minutes left, if you're okay, I'd like to walk you and me. I'd like to walk through some tips on live podcasting.
Do
we
that.
Talk about this all the time.
You
right?
talked about it last week and then we didn't get to them. So
we never jumped in. So we got about 10 minutes, and if we get a call, we'll take it. But, sure. But I want to throw these by you, because this is one of the things, you know, you started all recorded and I started all live, and our worlds have kind of blended. Although I'm not doing recorded podcasts yet. That's how I do my podcast consulting, is non-live. Mm-hmm. But from all my own stuff, I still do it live. But a couple tips that I've put together that I think some folks might enjoy, as far as if you're going to do a live podcast. One, don't be afraid of it. It's not that hard. It's a little bit more challenging than doing it recorded, but once you get going, it's fine. So a couple live tips. One, get a quiet keyboard. Okay, so Mac makes these nice. This is where I'm a PC guy, but I've got a Mac keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get these for, if you're paying full price, they're 70, but you can find them on Craigslist, eBay, whatever, for 30, 40 bucks. Worth every cent. If you're a podcaster, they don't make any noise at all. And so you don't, you know, if you're an old school tech guy and you got a clickety clack keyboard, no one wants to hear you typing.
Yeah, because I'll type. This is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Dave's type.
And you can hear it, right? You can hear it on the show. And if that's what you're looking for, that's fine. But go get a quiet keyboard. And you don't have to. There's a couple versions out there. Head out to your local retailer and test out a couple that you like, that you're comfortable with. I just happen to like these Mac keyboards. I bought several of them, and they work out real well for me. The other thing I like about them is they got a USB. They become a USB hub at the same time on either end. They've got a USB port, so you can plug a mouse into it. But, you know, the other thing. When we talk about keyboard and mice, quit going wireless. You know, wireless keyboards and mice quit. The propensity for them to quit in the middle of your show is higher if you're live than anything else. Right? batteries go dead. Signal is lost.
That's true.
Yeah, it always happens right in the middle of the show, and you're like, you're trying to do something, and mouse is gone, and you're like, it never cuts out. On a wired, on wired equipment, you're just not going to get that. So I know wireless stuff is great, and I went all wireless for a long time, but you've probably got a lot of things on your desk that interrupt the signal and have some other problems with it. Maybe some big speakers that have big magnets in them. Yeah, those kinds of things.
Maybe.
Yeah, just a few, right, to go along with that. One thing, start your show early. So I know you try and time it when we start this. You try and time it so that when people listen to the raw version or what we're recording, they get it right at the very beginning. I actually start 5 or 10 or 15 minutes ahead of time and do a pre-show, and we kind of celebrate the pre-show. It's like, hey, we're gathering the troops and getting everybody going. Then I start, because I edit everything. Right. So it's one of those kinds of things where I'm going to pull that video down and edit it and then push it back up to YouTube. You know, it's just a good way of doing it. So starting early gets the jitters out. You know, you don't feel that pressure to get everything going at the same time.
I like that idea. We might start doing that.
So it's okay. Just start early. Right. Get the video running early. I always say when I start the video, especially if it's going to be 10 minutes early, I'll say, hey, Jim Collison from theaverageguy.tv that you found, Home Gadget Geeks. If you're watching this, you're probably watching the recorded version, and we're 10 minutes early. So if you want to get to the show, fast forward 10 minutes. That way they don't, because I got some feedback that somebody said, what is all this chit chat that doesn't, you know, that's not the show. Well, I warned them, right? It's not the show if they've caught the raw version. So a good way to, Ronald says, never had a wireless keyboard die at any time. Well, just do a live podcast.
That's right. Never say never, my friend.
That will guarantee that you're going to lose the keyboard. One of the things that you do really well that I don't try to do live is the bells and whistles, right? You actually add your music in during the live show. I don't recommend it, especially if you're just starting, right? There's some complexity for you to get all that stuff going. How are you bringing in that soundboard?
I'm using a iPad with a low battery right now.
So you plug it in.
And I'm using a, speaking of batteries, it's sitting here at 5%. And normally I don't plug it in because I have found in some cases it will introduce noise, which is kind of weird. And I'm using Soundbite. So, you know, if I said, well, David Lee, what do you think about that? You know, but it is something else again that you have to, you know, who doesn't love David Lee Roth? And for me, it's fun because I've got two mixes going. I have the volume knob, which controls how much of it is on the recording. And then I have my auxiliary knob, which is how much you hear. So that's why people are like, yeah, the music never made it to Google. That's because Dave forgot to turn the other knob. I'm too worried about the recording.
Yeah, and that adds a level of complexity to it that you can, you know, if you don't do the music, we just fake it on the live show, no music. Yeah. And then I add that music. And I've heard you talk about that before, adding that music post-production. Then you can get the music perfect.
Exactly.
And it sounds good that way. So not that it's just, you know, again, it's your preference, but that's just some things that I've learned. Don't try to do all the bells and whistles live when you're out there. Watch the chat room, but don't feel like you have to mention them for every single post, right? You don't, you know, we've got a very active chat room. Your show can become the chat room if you're not careful when you're doing it live. Now that works well for us, right? But we're not trying to answer every single question or every single comment that comes into the chat. Right, Dave?
No, there's been a whole conversation about plugins going on with Alan and Mike today about show post plugins.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It's kind of like I'm trying to see what they're talking about and things like that. But that's something for me. I'm a bit ADD. My wife would say a lot ADD. And I kind of make a note to kind of watch, like I'm watching the phone line, I'm watching you, and then I will watch the chat. But I try to not hit everything, and it takes a little practice.
It does. Well, when I do the Gallup podcast, I have a phone. We have a dial-in number that I'm watching. We have Spreaker that we're pushing it out to. I have the Hangout up in a window that I'm watching. We have a live chat room. Then we have a behind-the-scenes chat room of the guests or the hosts that we're making sure we're staying in communication with each other. So there's a lot of activity going on. I'm trying to gather questions out of the chat room as well. You know, one of the things, if you are watching the chat, don't feel like you have to interrupt your sentence just because somebody said something in chat. You don't have to say it right now, right? You can say it. You can finish your sentence and then go back to the chat and handle it. That's just one of those things, you know, that the chat room is not shouting the conversation at us. And so you can hold it. There's just one of those things. Sometimes, like you said, I'm ADD too, Dave. And so I'll be reading chat as I'm talking and then it'll slow down as I'm trying to read. So I think be careful with your chat room from that. Don't feel like you have to mention everything. Alan had said, speaking of that, Alan Newsom had said just a minute ago that he audio editing and video editing are two very different animals. And you're absolutely right. I do very little video editing. What you see is what you get. We make a mistake, it stays in there. Because if you try and cut it out, it looks weird, right? Yeah. Where the audio, you were, let's see, when did you talk about, a couple school podcasts ago, you talked about audio editing where you actually did some live on the show. What number was that? Was that 409, 408,
I want to say
like
410.
410, okay.
I'm guessing.
And so if you haven't listened to that yet, you might want to go back. You do a really good job of walking through the kind of the actual process of how you edit audio. And I do it very similar to you. And so the audio you can fix. I don't feel pressure to edit my video like that. There's just no way. It'd be jumping around, right, all the time. It would look like max headroom, you know, when you do that. So I always say don't feel like you have to mention the chat in every single post. And then finally, people love to hear the behind the curtain conversations, just like we're doing right now, right? You pulled the curtain down.
Yeah.
Right? And people are like, that's what's behind you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think some people probably saw that for the first time, you know, what was behind you. And so people, that makes a connection, I think, with your live audience when they see the real, you know, I have skis. We don't really ski with those skis. They're just a prop. Right? I know. I love to ski. I love to ski. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But we haven't skied on these skis in a long time.
Well, they're a great prop, man. They make it very homey in the
I get mentions all the time. I'll do an interview and somebody's like, "Oh, hey, you like skiing?" Yeah, I do actually like skiing. And if I've got runners, we can talk about the running stuff. Hidden are books back here that I've got coffee mugs. I've got an Xbox. An original Xbox up there. I got a lot of tech stuff. Somebody even mentioned the microphone that I have down there. I got a Blue Yeti right behind me. Somebody saw that the other day. So those aren't that's just not what was there. I've intentionally put things behind me to start conversations.
There you go. Well,
guess what?
Speaking of feeding and speeding music live.
Man, I talk too much, Dave. Sorry. I just totally dominated that.
Well, again, this is where I say one of the things that I didn't do it intentionally, but I think it works for us is the fact that A, we don't agree on everything without going, "Oh, you are an idiot, man."
Well, I say that in the post show. So
and the fact that you have a different skill set than I do, we are doing the same thing kind of, but differently. We have different, the same thing with Ray and Daniel and Cliff. We all work with different people and see different things. So it's always great. So, yeah, I think there are plenty. I mean, I went on and on about Bill's questions today. So somebody could say, "Well, man, Dave hogged the microphone. What a microphone pig that he just."
If you don't want us to hog the microphone, call in.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah, that's the other thing. I did have somebody, I think it was Bill, that said, "Well, I was going to call in, but I don't want to be like that guy." And I'm like, "No, please be that guy. Call in." Because we didn't get any callers today. I actually turned off the phone. But I will now mix in live the phone-filled exit music. And here's the fun part of this, that you think it's cool to mix in music. I have a minute and 59 seconds to kill at this point.
Come on, we're podcasters. Yeah. There's no problem filming a minute 59 seconds.
So I can think.
Audio on the way out, yeah.
So this is where you do your 27 calls to action. Follow me on @LearnToPodcast. Don't forget to use the coupon code ASK20 at the School Podcast to save $20 off your first month. Jim, anything you would like to plug besides theaverageguy.tv?
That's it, man. That's all I got.
That's all you got? All right.
Or do you want more? So we can fill the 2 minutes?
Yeah, let's see. If you're going to be in Texas in August, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/podcastmovement, and I'll be speaking there with all the other fun-filled podcasts.
When is that? What's the date on that?
August 16th?
I called you on it.
16th and 17th.
Coming up.
Yeah, coming up. That'll be fun.
2 months.
Still have not figured out, they haven't said what we're talking about yet. In fact, that's on my list of things to do to go, seriously, I'd kind of like to start working on my speech. But it's nice that they're letting us pick, but I submitted a bunch of ideas and have heard nothing. So, if you are in the chat room, there's always post-show because it takes Dave another 3 minutes to shut down the show. So there we go. And see, I've got 39 seconds and I'm just out of stuff. Let's see. School of Podcasting.
Alan said in the chat, you can always just fade out.
Dude. Yeah, that's usually what I do. Like when I'm out of stuff. Because the last thing I say, if you've got 39 seconds worth of stuff and you've only got, and you got a minute long thing, my favorite is when people just let you listen to the music. Right? It's like, great. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah, music can be a little louder.
And we'll see you again real soon with another episode of the Ask the Podcast.